WWA podcast from William Hill. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Yes, welcome along again, our second edition of the FWA podcast. Thanks for all your feedback last week. It was well received, which is always good. I'm delighted to say that this week, joining me, Lee Phelps, is Steve Bates, who's the Sunday People's chief football writer. The poison chalice of promotion to the Premier League is one of the subjects that we're going to cover. We'll also look at the Champions League, where three English clubs did very well. Arsenal fell to Dortmund, but they won't be the last team to do that. And we'll also talk about Manchester United. How long before David Moyes is brought to book at all? Trafford. Steve, thanks for joining me. Pleasure to speak to you.
No problem. Yeah, good to be there.
Should we start with this? Should we start with the Champions League week, first of all? English football's kind of been denigrated a little bit over the past few seasons. It seems to be getting a bit of a foothold back, especially at the group stages. Obviously, the knockout stages is where it gets really tough. And if we excuse Arsenal for losing to the Champions League final runners-up last season, not a bad week all in all. There's been some controversy off the pitch, especially for Yaya Toure and Manchester City, but they got the job done. I was at Old Trafford on Wednesday night, and Man United were pretty poor, really, but they got the job done, and no one will remember that. And of course, Chelsea as well, withstood some pressure from Schalke, but got the job done again. Some good wins there.
Yeah, there were some good wins, and I think in the context of it, Lee, you can't really be too hard on Arsenal, although they've had a great start to the Premier League season. Dortmund are a top outfit. I mean, we saw that all last season. Obviously, they reached the Champions League final and were beaten by Bayern Munich, but they are a top side. They play wonderful football. They've got some great expressive players. And I suppose if Arsenal were going to have a little bit of a stumble, then it was no surprise that it would be to Dortmund. But, they're still really well placed in that group. Everybody's on 6 points. I think all the three top teams there who are in with a shout are qualifying. So it's not a disaster by any means whatsoever. And I think with the games to come, then Arsenal, I would put my money on them qualifying from that group, to be honest with you, because I think they've certainly got the quality and the class to bounce back from that defeat. Elsewhere, obviously, you're quite right. There were some good results. Chelsea winning in Schalke was a very good, comfortable win. City got the job done eventually, as you say, in Moscow. On a difficult pitch, but you would have expected them to, I think, with the quality of players that Pellegrini's got in his side. And of course, last night, like you, I was at Manchester United and Real Sociedad. And, United could really have won more comfortably, but I think it's kind of a pretty much a snapshot of the problems they're facing at the moment. We saw them surface against Southampton in the Premier League last weekend, where they couldn't finish Southampton off despite some good chances. And again, against Sociedad, they had some excellent attacking opportunities and chances presenting themselves, but they just could not find that second goal to kill Sociedad off. And of course, When that happens, especially in the Premier League and in Europe, you're liable to get a nasty surprise at the end of the game, and as United did against Southampton, but they avoided that last night against Sociedad. So yeah, all in all, a decent week for the English teams.
Before we start talking about Manchester United, let's have a quick look at the Champions League outright prices. Bayern Munich are the 5-2 favourites. I mean, they just keep steamrolling teams. Barcelona 9-2, Real Madrid 9-2, Borussia Dortmund themselves are 14-1. So a big old jump from Real Madrid up to Borussia Dortmund. Chelsea the same price. They're the shortest price of any of the English clubs at 14-1. Paris Saint-Germain 14-1 with Zlatan Ibrahimovic trying to muscle his way into that top two in the best players in the world. Atletico 16-1, same price as Manchester City. Then you got Man United, the same price, 16-1, and Arsenal, the fourth of the English clubs there, at 20-1. For any Scottish fans out there or Celtic fans out there, 250-1 the price for Celtic, just to complete the British clubs. Hard to see past Bayern, isn't it, Steve? It is. Really?
Yeah, I mean, I was at the Etihad Stadium recently when they played Manchester City, completely destroyed them. It was an absolute masterclass by Guardiola's team. There doesn't seem to be any kind of blip or hiccup at all in them picking up from their previous manager now to Guardiola. Very unlike the situation at Manchester United, but Bayern Munich have just kept on going, and you really can't see, I think you can't see past them. And as you say, there's a big gap between Dortmund and then Chelsea at 14. It's quite a long way out to find English teams, sort of betting odds around about the 14s, 16s, 20s for English teams. Usually were short odds really in the past few years, but I think it's just the the way the sand has shifted a little bit in favour of particularly the German teams, but also I think Madrid and Barcelona are going to be strong as well.
Manchester United, then, you know, it's a rich vein of journalism, isn't it? Because so many column inches, so many programmes filled on TV and on the radio with talk about Manchester United. It's interesting when you're at the club and you walk down corridors and the corridors are filled with pictures of superstars from the last decade. We're not talking about 20 and 30 years ago like you get in some clubs. This is very recent. I wonder, as a Manchester United fan sat at Old Trafford last night, I wonder how many of those people are sat there thinking, where have they all gone? Because you look at that pitch and, you know, all top professionals, and I'm not someone who likes to be negative about footballers, but there's no spark there, Steve, is there?
No, I mean, obviously Van Persie was missing from the scene last night, so he was...
And Rooney's class.
He was a big miss. I thought Rooney was terrific last night. At times he was really on his game. But you're right. I mean, you know, I think Manchester United fans hark back to the recent days of a lineup when they had Ronaldo, Tevez, Rooney in the side. You know, they did have some real top quality in those days. Of course, Rio Ferdinand was at his peak, so was Vidic. You know, you had Scholes still playing. Giggs, who was a few years younger. So, yeah, I mean, there's definitely a feeling at Old Trafford that fans would like those days to come to return where they had the top name stars. But as we've seen, it's not really easy to attract the big name players back. I mean, we were talking this summer, wasn't there, that Ronaldo might come back, but he's killed that speculation now by signing a long-term deal at Real Madrid. So, you know, United are perhaps crying out for a new superstar. And who knows, it could well be Adnan Januzaj, couldn't it? You know, he's the next cab off the rank, as they say, a young player with terrific ability. So maybe he's the one that's going to light up Old Trafford, but they certainly need somebody to step into that kind of void, if you like, and really excite the imagination.
Yeah. Do you subscribe to this idea that... those players were obviously there last year, but Ferguson gave them that. Sir Alex Ferguson gave them that extra 5%, and without him there, they've lost a little bit of not only direction but a little bit of confidence somewhere along the way as well.
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, Alex Ferguson. They often say, don't they, the goalkeeper, top goalkeepers are worth about 10 points a season for you. Mm. Well, I think. I've read reports that somebody worked it out that Alex Ferguson, probably with all his touchline rantings and influence over various parts of the game and the players and the opponents coming to Old Trafford, was worth about 15 points to United this season. It's probably true, because if you look at the last 2 years, certainly Alex Ferguson squeezed every ounce out of that squad when people didn't think it was really possible. And, you know, they got pipped by a last day, one goal difference to Manchester City a couple of seasons ago, then won the league by 11 points last year with a squad, basically, which people didn't really think had the kind of quality or kind of sparkle that past Manchester United title-winning sides had had. So, yeah, you have to put that down to the Fergie factor, don't you? And it's probably a little unfair of the media and perhaps everybody in football to expect that David Moyes is suddenly going to suddenly pick that up immediately without any kind of disruption to life at Old Trafford. Well, in reality, that wasn't going to happen, really, because I think the squad at Manchester United at the moment does need some surgery. I think there'll be some comings and goings next summer in the transfer window. I can't see too much major business being done in January, to be honest with you, because I don't think the type of players that Manchester United want to buy will be available in January. But certainly, when we get to the summer, I think we will see a lot of high-intensity activity with United and David Moyes stamping his personality on the club.
The good thing is he does seem to have the support of the hierarchy, and obviously Sir Alex Ferguson kind of left the fans with that feeling. And you know, at Old Trafford, he got, you know, there's positive imagery there from the fans still towards Moyes. What about this book then this week, Steve? I mean, you know, it's fantastic to have Sir Alex Ferguson opening up what is a phenomenal story about his career and the things that went on behind the scenes a little. I just wonder, maybe this is a bit of a mischievous question, but I just wonder that, you know, as a member of the press, you guys were often at the rough end of Sir Alex Ferguson's temper. Is it quite nice to see some interviewers giving him a bit back this week? I saw John Snow's interview where he really grilled him. Suddenly he hasn't got that aura himself anymore, like his players. Suddenly everyone's going, get stuck into Sir Alex Ferguson here.
Listen, I've had the hair dry like a few of the other lads have had. I've had it many times, believe you me, turned on full power as well. And he is a fearsome sight when he gets going. I'm sure that set too with him and Roy Keane that he sort of spoke about so graphically in his book. You would have liked to have been a spectator at that, because that must have been a kind of a fearsome set too. But yeah, listen, there's two ways to look at this, aren't it? Roy Keane said that he believes Fergie's shown some disloyalty by speaking out of school, if you like, about things that went on behind closed doors. Alex Ferguson's viewpoint is, well, look, I'm doing a biography and I think, you know, people deserve to know why I took certain decisions on big players, like big calls on Roy Keane and on David Beckham, you know. And they've both probably got a point, you know. With those two, you were never going to get a situation where either party was going to be happy with the other. I think, you know, the animosity between them clearly is runs very deep. There's no love lost. And you know, it's been interesting really this week to see the fallout from it all. One thing that hasn't surprised me is that David Beckham has kept his counsel and kept quiet, you know. Fergie said some things about him that maybe weren't overly nice about David's career and the way it kind of nosedived in Fergie's view after he left United. You know, then again, he did say some good things about David and said he basically was the fittest player at the club and had an enormous appetite to be successful and he was at Manchester United. So listen, when you get a warts and all book like that was, although I still think there were things that were left out that for diplomatic reasons, but it was a decent read, you know, for anybody who hasn't read it is a decent read, and you know, some of the things in there are quite interesting, but the timing of it, you know, was always going to ensure that the press would have acres and acres of newspaper to fill, because that was always going to be the nature of it.
Yeah, definitely. Let's have a look at a couple of the prices around Manchester United season. They are 8-1 to win the Premier League this season, which is the same price as Liverpool, astonishingly, really. I mean, when you think about where those two clubs have been in the last few years, Manchester City are favourites at 7-4, Chelsea are 5-2, Arsenal 9-2. Then you've got the Liverpool and Manchester United at joint 8-1, Tottenham double the price of that at 16s, and the rest are 125-1 and bigger. Perhaps even more interestingly, Manchester United are 8-13 to finish in the top four, which means they're 6-5 to finish outside the top four. I mean, that's unheard of, Steve. I mean, normally they're 1-10. You know, City are 1-9, Chelsea 1-7, Arsenal 1-3. I mean, Manchester United fans who think they will come good, who think this is a blip and think they can finish in the top four, I mean, never see a price like 8-13 for them to finish in the Champions League places.
No. What I would say is that at 8-1 to win the title, you might do a bit of business, because, you know, if there's one club, Lee, that can go on a massive run and, you know, win game after game after game, it is Manchester United. And I still don't think they've lost that ability. It is still early in the season. I can understand why the odds are being sort of placed as they are at the moment, because United are having a bit of a stumble. But let's not forget, we're still only in October. There's a long, long way to go. You know, there's still a lot of know-how in that Manchester United team about how to win a title, about how to beat adversity. They've faced it for many, many years. So, you know, while, you know, me included, probably members of the press are getting all kind of doom and gloom about United, yeah, they have had a stuttering start to the season. But I do think, you know, if there is one team in that division that could absolutely go on a major run and smash the opposition out of sight, then it would be Manchester United. And I wouldn't rule them out from doing that. But equally, I can see why people are saying, you know, they're going to struggle to finish top four because of the start they've had. But they've still got an enormous amount of quality in the squad. They've not really lost anybody from last season when they won the title by 11 points. So, OK, new manager in, yeah, but he's fiercely determined to, you know, make sure that winning habit continues at United. So it's early days, and I might be tempted to have a bit of 8-1 myself.
As you were talking there, Steve, I was just thinking to myself, I saw Rio Ferdinand tweet this morning saying, yeah, we got the job done last night, now it's time to go on a run, roll the sleeves up type thing. And if they get on a run, and if that confidence does start to seep back in, it could flood in, couldn't it? Suddenly could go, yeah, oh, actually, we are the same players we were last year.
There's no doubt about it that, you know, as I say, you know, if there is one sort of team that could do that, it would be Manchester United, because they'll be stung by the fact that, you know, people are suggesting that, you know, all the success was down to Alex Ferguson. Well, I'm sure the players aren't happy about that. You know, they're the guys that go out on the pitch and produce. Maybe something has been lost a little bit because Fergie's not there, and the fear factor that maybe the players had in their minds about their performance level droppings when he was in the changing room, maybe that ensured that they gave that little bit extra. But, you know, knowing David Moyes as I do, he's not going to tolerate any kind of slacking of standards or slipping of standards from his players. So I think, you know, I tend to agree with comments from some of the United players that they haven't really had the rub of the green so far this season. Yes, they have let themselves down as well in certain games. But listen, it could all come right in a flash against Stoke on Saturday. And if they pile three or four goals past Stoke, then, you know, people will be talking differently about United.
There is one special bet on the William Hill website. I'm presuming that a punter somewhere out there has asked for this. It's for Manchester United to win the Champions League but finish outside the top four in the Premier League at odds of 40-1, if anyone's interested. I can only think it's been requested from...
It must have been, yeah.
It can't have been requested on the evidence of last night, that's for sure.
Sure, it's an interesting shout, isn't it?
It'd take a lot, wouldn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. It looks like they are going to get through that group, though, now,
yes,
I'm sure.
Yeah.
You know, they're in a great position there now to go on and... to go on and win the group. We spoke to David Moyes last week, and I think his idea is to perhaps get the group done and dusted as quick as he can, and then get back to focusing on the Premier League again and climbing the table.
Let's have a look at our other big subject this week, which is this poison chalice of being promoted to the Premier League. These are in no particular order. Just something I thought of off the top of my head: Brian McDermott, Roberto Di Matteo, Mick McCarthy, Neil Warnock, Eddie Boothroyd, Phil Brown, Billy Davis. I think even Steve Coppell going back, adding Holloway to that list now, and Malky Mackay is the favourite in the third manager to leave his job. The thing they've all got in common, of course, is that they do this amazing job, the most lucrative game in football, etc., etc. They get the team up from the Championship, which is widely regarded, Steve, as one of the most difficult divisions in Europe. Mm. And they're not given the time, are they? You know, and there are often occasions where these managers are replaced, and the replacement doesn't do that much better anyway. Some have kept the teams. I think Brian Robson kept the team up when I think Gary Megson had been sacked. Another name you could chuck in there, actually. Mm. I mean, that's a long list, isn't it? And it's a recurring theme in the Premier League, isn't it?
It is, but you know, the difference is it is a huge step up from Championship to Premier League. And, you know, sometimes it's not the manager, it's the players that they have at their disposal. They're coming up with a group of players who've had a fantastic season in the Championship, but suddenly find the pace, the speed, the intensity, the tribal nature of the Premier League, it just overwhelms them. And, you know, once you do get into a losing rut... you know, it's very, very difficult to get out of it because each week you're looking at the fixture list and you're playing a team who, you know, if it's not in Europe, it's crammed with top quality players. So, you know, one of the names you missed off there, Lee, was Nigel Atkins at Southampton.
Of course, yeah.
You know, successive promotions with Southampton, and suddenly when they have a little bit of a sticky spell, he finds himself out of a job. Mm. Now, I'm sure the Southampton, Nicola Cortese, the Southampton owner, will say, well, look where we are now. Yeah. You know, I brought Pochettino in from Spain, and look at the job he's done. And you can't argue with that at the moment. But it just does re-emphasise the brutal nature of life in the Premier League, because such are the vast financial riches now available to these clubs that they can't possibly contemplate, having got there, seeing that sort of... golden egg slip through the hands. You know, they want to stay there as long as they can, and you know, probably it looks like the pressure's told on Ian Holloway, and he's thought, look, we've got 3 points from 8 matches here. You know, can I really turn this round? And he's probably thinking, with the group of players he's got, he can't. So you've just mentioned, you know, the odds on Malky Mackay being the next one out the door.
9-4, yeah.
Yeah, nice. I mean, that's possibly for different reasons, because he doesn't appear to get on very well with Vincent Tan, is it? The owner at Cardiff, and there seems to be some problems behind the scenes there. Cardiff has started reasonably well, I think, you know, for a team that's come up. They've had some good results, notably against Manchester City at the start of the season, playing some decent football, and they have had some decent results. But, you know, they've clearly got an owner there who's very hands-on and perhaps interferes a bit too much for Malky Mackay's liking. But yeah, you're quite right. It is a ruthless division to be in, particularly if you're not doing well. And as I say, you know, once these promoted teams who spend a bit of money to come up, you know, they can't face the prospect of going straight back down again, even though they do have some parachute payments.
Chris Hughton's next in the betting there, incidentally, at 4-1. Then you got Martin Jarl at 9-2. I think that big victory over Palace has given him a bit of a stay of execution, if the rumours are to be believed. Sam Allardyce 10-1, Alan Pardew 11-1, Mark Hughes 11-1. Mm. Then you got David Moyes and Gus Poyet and the next permanent Crystal Palace manager 20-1. I mean, there was a time, Steve, when these markets, people were a little bit like, this is distasteful, this isn't right. Now people absolutely lap these markets. I mean, the punters love these markets. It's a little bit churlish, I think, to have the next permanent Crystal Palace manager.
It
hasn't been named yet at 20-1. But let's have a quick look at that. I mean, the papers are full of Tony Pulis.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like he's been approached, he's been asked. So William Hill have got him at 4-7, which normally when you get that kind of exposure in the whether it be on TV or in the papers, they'll be about, you know, be much shorter than that. So this isn't a done job. You just wonder how much Tony Pulis wants it. Seems to be enjoying his media work. Mm. Seems to be enjoying a bit of time away from the game, and it really is jumping into a tricky situation if he was to take that job.
Yeah, last Saturday I bumped into him at Southampton. He was doing some commentary for one of the radio stations at Manchester United, Southampton, and you know, he's very keen to get back into the game. He does like doing his media stuff. I think he would like to get back into the game, and I could see him actually dovetailing very well with Crystal Palace. You know, he's used to scrapping, he's used to fighting, he's used to with Stoke, obviously kept them in the division quite a long time with a unique style of play, and I could see him being the kind of manager that maybe would have a chance of turning that round.
The other managers in the reckoning, and the big prices with Tony Pulis being that short. Avram Grant's 10-1, Carl Robinson 14s, Neil Warnock 16-1, Roberto Di Matteo 16s, Alan Pardew 25-1, same price as Chris Coleman. Then you get up to 33-1 and bigger the rest. As usual, I mean, you get quite a lot of the same names thrown in around some bigger prices. Mm. Like Ian Dowie, you know, 40-1. But we will see. It'll all come out in the wash over the next few weeks. We'll finish off just a quick look. We're asking you guys to pick out a bet of the week. Last week, Paul McCarthy picked out West Ham to beat Man City. So you've got a pretty low bar to beat here. The TV games, incidentally, this week are... it kicks off with Crystal Palace versus Arsenal at 12:45. Southampton versus Fulham is the evening game at 5:30 on Saturday. Then on Sunday, what a Sunday we've got. We've got Sunderland versus Newcastle with all that entails normally anyway, plus the added interest this season. That's a 1:30 live game. And then the small matter of Chelsea versus Manchester City at 4:00. Which game have you identified?
Well, look, I was just having another look at those, and you know, I've got a sneaking suspicion that Hull might just pull something off.
Really?
Against Tottenham. Oh, yeah. I mean, Tottenham are involved in
that's right. Yeah, Europa League.
Europa League, aren't they? This week. Mm. I don't think that's going to be a terribly tough game for them, but they will be in action. But what I've seen of Hull, I've quite liked this season. Yeah. You know, they've got some pace in the team. They're quite direct. They like to attack. And, you know, I'm just going back to thinking back to sort of games that Tottenham have had in recent seasons where, you know, they have lost to those kind of teams, you know. And wouldn't surprise me if Steve Bruce's boys go and pull something off there.
Yeah, it's an interesting one, and we've seen from Tottenham this season already, they've been getting the job done, but only just generally, haven't they? Even the 2-0 win you know, wasn't overly convincing against Villa, and that trip to Moldova could take a little bit out of the players who do play. Interesting one. I mean, the decent price as well. I mean, Hull are 13-2 to win at Tottenham, and we're not suggesting, I guess, that they'll go there and win, but...
They could perhaps get a draw. What's the odds for a draw?
Well, the draw is 100-30, which is a bit bigger than normal, and the bet that a lot of people do like is either the plus one on the handicap, or, you know, to put it more simply, the double chance, which means you get Hull and the draw, and that's at 17-10. So
I think that's a good bet.
Yeah, Hull or the draw at White Hart Lane at 17-10. Mm. I like that, Steve. Thanks for your time today. It's been fascinating talking to you.
Good stuff.
And we'll look out for your work. Steve is the chief football writer for the Sunday People, so check it out online and in the paper itself for more of Steve Bates' work. Thank you, Steve.
Thanks, mate. Cheers.
And we'll be back next Thursday for another FWA podcast with one of the members of the Football Writers Association. You can check out their website, footballwriters.co.uk. This podcast is available on their website, on williamhill.com, on audioboo.fm and on iTunes. So spread the word, please, whether you're on Twitter or not. My Twitter address is at Lee Phelps. You can follow Steve as well if you're not doing already, at @SBates_people. Thanks for downloading the podcast. If you're having a bet on any of the action this weekend, then very best of luck.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.